December 19th, the servant of God, Berthold of Ratisbon, confessor, first order. Berthold of Ratisbon was born about the year 1220. At a very early age, he entered the order of St. Francis, which had been founded only recently. He distinguished himself among his brethren by piety, moral integrity, and a most austere life. The celebrated David of Augsburg was his teacher in virtue and in knowledge. The master soon recognized the great gifts with which God favored Berthold and provided for their complete development. And so Berthold became an outstanding spiritual leader and the greatest and most powerful preacher of his time in the entire German Empire. Like a two-edged sword, the word of God proceeding from his lips pierced the hearts of his hearers and moved the most hardened sinners to repentance. Often the concourse of people who came to hear him was so great that no church could accommodate them. Sometimes the number rose to 100,000, and he was forced to address the people in the open air, speaking to them from a pulpit built in a tree. To this day, there is a vast open area in Bohemia called Berthold's Field, because on several occasions, Berthold addressed such crowds there. One day at Ratisbon, Berthold was preaching in forceful terms against the vice of impurity. A woman of evil repute in the audience was so overcome with sorrow over her past sinful life that she dropped dead. Berthold's fervent prayer restored her to life, and she confessed her sins with sincere contrition. Other sinners converted through Berthold sought to atone for their sins by a life of strict seclusion and rigorous penitential practices. The people of Ratisbon were so edified at their spirit of penance that they built a convent and a chapel for them, which they dedicated to Saint Mary Magdalene. The convent exists to this day and is occupied by the daughters of St. Clare. Berthold was favored with the gift of prophecy and foretold certain catastrophes and other future events, all of which were fulfilled in every detail. Rich in heavenly merits, Berthold died in his native town of Ratisbon on December 13, 1272, and was laid to rest by the pious people of the town. But the faithful from Bohemia and Hungary made pilgrimages to it as to the tomb of a saint. Following the suppression of the convents in 1811, the mortal remains of this great servant of God were withdrawn from public veneration. But he still speaks to the modern world in some of his sermons, which have been preserved. The following consideration is taken from them. On the three snares. The evil spirits lay numberless snares for us poor mortals to keep us from reaching eternal salvation. But there are three snares that are more dangerous than the rest. The first of them they lay for us when we come into the world, and the second as we pass through the world, and the third when we pass out of the world. Once a child in the womb of its mother has a soul, that soul will live forever. But to keep that soul from seeing the face of God and enjoying eternal salvation, the devils lay snares to keep it from being baptized, for without baptism it cannot enter eternal bliss. They do what they can to keep the child from being born alive. If it is born alive, they use various tricks to have its baptism put off. Once it has been baptized, they try to involve it in bad habits, for they know that such habits will stick to the child for life. That is why husband and wife should take good care of the life of the child, should by all means not put off baptism, and should keep their little ones from getting into bad habits, while they start them in good habits as early as possible. Have you always acted like a Christian in this matter, or have you perhaps helped the devil lay his snares? As we pass through life, the evil spirits lay snares for us by means of sinful love and sinful fears. They stir up men's senses to seek satisfaction in intemperance, impurity, vanity, and pride, and they ensnare thousands of souls with false love. Other souls, and sometimes the very same ones, they fill with false fears that they will not be able to make their way through life, and so they incite them to greed, avarice, and injustice. The evil spirits entrap practically all men with one or the other of these snares. Which snare do you need to fear the most? It is when we pass out of this world that the evil spirits lay the last snare for us, and that snare is doubt. Sometimes they attack the dying person with doubts against faith. That is why we should try to strengthen our faith during life, and to renew the acts of faith each morning and evening. But the evil spirits more often tempt men in their last hour with doubt of the mercy of God. That is why we should atone for our sins while there is time, and do much good, so that it may outweigh the evil we have done. But even if his wicked deeds outnumbered his good deeds, let the dying person still not despair, but look up to God and to Mary, and trust in the blood of Christ, one drop of which is more than enough to outbalance all our sins. May God grant all Christians the grace to pass to the eternal shores with such happiness that they can say with the psalmist, "Our soul has been delivered as a sparrow out of the snare of the fowlers." Psalm 123. Prayer of the Church. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, that thy people may avoid all contacts with the devil, and with pure mind follow thee, the only God, through Christ our Lord. Amen.